In this video, we will understand why Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi went to Papua New Guinea. What is the reason behind it? Then we will also learn what is Forum for India Pacific Islands Cooperation Summit and what is the aim of this summit. We will also learn what is the meaning of the term Global South and how India is the only sensible emerging economy that can be the voice of Global South. So we are going to cover all these topics. Without any further delay, let's begin. As you all know, Prime Minister Modi went to Papua New Guinea after attending the G7 summit in Japan. And we all have seen that picture where the Prime Minister of Papua New Guinea, James Marape, greeted Prime Minister Modi by touching his feet. It is a gesture to show respect to an elderly person. The main objective of Prime Minister Modi's visit to Papua New Guinea was to attend the Forum of India Pacific Islands Cooperation Summit. Now, let me also quickly tell you what is this forum all about. Forum for India Pacific Islands Cooperation is a multinational grouping developed in 2014 for building strong cooperation between India and 14 Pacific Islands nations. Now, who are those 14 Pacific Island nations? They are Cook Islands, Fiji, Kiribati, Marshall Islands, Micronesia, Nauru, Niue, Samoa, Solomon Islands, Palau, Papua New Guinea, Tonga, Tuvalu, and Vanuatu. Till now, there have been 3 summits since it was founded in 2014, including the recent one that happened a couple of days back. Now, what was the purpose behind forming this forum? As I said, this forum was initiated by the Government of India and launched in 2014. And the purpose behind forming this forum was to enhance and strengthen the relationship between India and the 14 Pacific Island countries. Now, what kind of relation is India trying to enhance and strengthen? Number 1. FIPIC aims to promote closer ties and cooperation between India and Pacific Island countries in various domains including politics, economy, trade, investment, culture and people-to-people exchanges. Second point, through this forum, India wants to address the specific development challenges faced by the Pacific Island countries such as climate change, sustainable development, disaster management, capacity building, healthcare, education and infrastructure development. If you see, all these problems are primary problems for any island nation. Island nations typically face these kinds of difficulties due to their geographical isolation and limited connectivity. Issues such as limited transportation and communication infrastructure, then vulnerability to climate change and natural disasters, and the sustainable use of marine resources are significant priorities for these countries. So, through this forum, India seeks to find some solution to it. Now, third point. Another reason for having this forum is to promote maritime security and the blue economy. Now, what is blue economy? It simply means sustainable management of ocean resources. The color of the ocean has been used with the word economy. As you all know, islands are rich in ocean resources like fisheries and many other marine livestock. Now, these have huge demand in the international market because marine food has high nutritional value. And now that the world is moving towards health consciousness, there is a growing demand for seafood. And then there is also something called the culinary economy, which includes restaurants, cafe, food manufacturing, culinary tourism, catering, and many other activities and industries related to food, dining, and culinary experience. In recent time, this industry has grown a lot and it contributes significantly to a country's economy. So, blue economy is the bread and butter of the coastal communities. So, enhancing cooperation with the Pacific Island countries is not only a great opportunity, but it is also the right thing to do for a growing economy like India. It is necessary for someone to take the lead in order to ensure that the 14 Pacific Island nations receive the necessary attention in the global economic landscape. Because if you see, several Western countries have military bases in the Pacific Island nations, but the presence is mainly for strategic purposes and joint military exercises. Of course, they also play a humanitarian role during any kind of natural disaster, but their primary objective is not to develop the economy or living condition. India sees this as a chance to become a prominent partner and elevate the Pacific Island nations' visibility in the global economic sphere. So this is the whole purpose behind creating this group, which is called the Forum for India Pacific Islands Cooperation, FIPIC. Now let's understand what was the purpose behind Prime Minister Modi's visit to Papua New Guinea on 22nd May 2023. If you listen to this meeting clip, here is what Prime Minister Modi said.
लंबे समय के बाद मिलने का मौका मिला है. इस बीच विश्व कोविड महामारी और अन्य कई कठिन चुनौतियों से गुजरा है। इन चुनौतियों का प्रभाव ग्लोबल साउथ के देशों पर सबसे अधिक पड़ा है।
As you saw in the clip, Prime Minister Modi spoke something about Global South. We will decode his speech bit by bit so that you understand what he meant, and that is also going to give you an overview of what this whole meeting in Papua New Guinea was all about. The term Global South refers to a broad categorization of countries and regions that are generally considered less economically developed and less politically influential compared to the countries in the Global North. Let me also quickly tell you which countries are referred to as Global North. They are the United States, Canada, Europe, Russia, Australia, and New Zealand. There is a line called the branded line. It is used as a visual depiction of the North-South economic divide based on GDP per capita. These are the countries that have benefited from the 19th century industrial revolution. Although you will see Australia and New Zealand lie in the southern hemisphere. And this way you may think about how are these two countries part of the global North. So this is where you have to understand that the term global North is not purely based on direction. It is more in terms of economy. And we all know that Australia and New Zealand are part of the Anglo-Saxon Western English speaking world. Likewise, if you look at the global South, it consists of a diverse group of nations primarily located in Africa, South America, Asia and some parts of Oceania. These countries often face common challenges such as poverty, underdevelopment and limited access to resources and many political and social issues. Many countries in the Global South did not have the opportunity to benefit from the Industrial Revolution, which hindered their ability to undergo economic, technological and social transformation. Furthermore, several of these countries were once colonies of European powers. European countries' growth and development relied on the exploitation and underdevelopment of these poorer nations. That is why the term Global South is used to highlight the economic, social and political disparities between these countries and those in the Global North, and to draw attention to the unique perspectives and needs of these nations in global discussions and decision-making processes. And by the way, India and China are also part of the Global South because they have emerged economically in the last few decades. Last year in December, when India assumed the G20 presidency, the Foreign Minister of India, S. Jaishankar, spoke about India's role as the voice of the Global South. Even China is putting all efforts into the Global South countries through the Belt and Road Initiative for developing infrastructure. However, it is still questionable whether China's Belt and Road Initiative will be a win-win situation for both parties, or will it focus only on China's profit. Last year, if you remember, China signed a security agreement with the Solomon Islands. I have a video on it. I'll put the link to that video in the top right corner. When China did that, do you know which countries had problem with China? They were New Zealand, Australia, the United States and Japan. So looking at that, you will realize that even China is putting in the efforts to become the leader of the Global South. Now, as I said, the only question is whether it will be a win-win situation for both parties, or will it focus only on China's profit, which is famously known as the debt trap policy. So this is the only problem with China, otherwise even China is putting the effort. Now, when it comes to India, India is trying to become a bridge between the North and the South. That's the idea for India. Now, India has to translate this idea into effective policy. Because the fact of the matter is, many of these Global South countries do not have a single shared agenda. They are not a unified entity or coherent group. Their regional politics are messy. They have a wide range of cultural, social and environmental contexts. They have diverse histories, cultures, languages and social structures that contribute to the differentiation within the group. So India has to work a lot. But then India as a country is highly diverse and it is also an example of the largest functioning democracy. So India has the potential to be the voice and leader of the Global South. In fact, the Prime Minister of Papua New Guinea, James Marape, has even said the Pacific Islands nation consider Prime Minister Narendra Modi as the leader of the Global South and they will rally behind India's leadership at international forums. Now let's go back to that clip.
Food, fuel, fertilizer or pharma. Iski supply chain, usme bhi badhaen aa rahi hain. Jinhein hum apna vishwasniya mante the. पता चला कि जरूरत के समय वो हमारे साथ नहीं खड़े थे. इस कठिनाई के समय में पुराना वाक्य सिद्ध हुआ, अ फ्रेंड इन नीड इज फ्रेंड इन डीड.
He said The Global South nations were already facing challenges, and since 2020, they have encountered additional issues that have further escalated their problems. One significant obstacle is the disruption in the supply chain of essential commodities like food, fuel, fertilizers, and pharmaceuticals. These disruptions have severely impacted the economies of Global South countries. Prime Minister Modi even said, "Those whom we trusted did not stand with us when needed." Now the question is, who is he talking about? Of course, he is taking a dig at the developed nations. You will not find any other Prime Minister or President who would have the power and courage to speak the truth. He actually said all of this about the United States and Europe for the hypocrisy. If you remember, during COVID, all developed countries hoarded vaccines and did not leave anything for other countries to buy. It was India, that is Bharat, who not only vaccinated the entire country, I'm talking about India, unlike the harmful ones like Pfizer and Moderna, but also sent millions of vaccines to all the nearby countries, even when they did not have money to pay. And India has sent vaccines to even those countries who could not afford US and European vaccines. Beyond India's immediate neighbors, South Korea, Qatar, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, Morocco, and South Africa also got Indian vaccines. Now, apart from this, Western countries even hoarded food items like wheat, sugar, sunflower, soya beans, etc. last year when Russia-Ukraine conflict began. And Prime Minister Modi also took a dig on Russia for aligning with China more after what India did for Russia at times of war by supplying medicines, automobiles, spare parts and other products at cheaper prices. We understand the fact that after Russia-Ukraine conflict, the balance of power in the Russia-China alliance has reversed. China is now the senior partner, whereas Russia has depleted a lot of its resources. Because of this, it has to depend more on the Chinese economy. Now, India is not at all expressing sadness over Russia's failure to reciprocate the favor. The main point is that Russia, like any other country, prioritizes its own interests. However, it is important to note that this specific incident should not be equated with the long-standing strategic relationship that India and Russia have fostered over several decades. Prime Minister Modi, in his address to the Pacific Island nations in Papua New Guinea, aimed to subtly communicate a message to these island nations. And what is that message? Prime Minister Modi is saying that the global supply chain of food, fuel, fertilizers, and the pharmaceutical industry is facing hurdles because of the policies of developed nations. Therefore, these Pacific Island nations have to be wise in choosing their friends and whom they want to align with. If I have to summarize this, Prime Minister Modi is indirectly giving a hint that you cannot trust China, which is a fact. And Russia is no longer an attractive partner because not only it is heavily sanctioned by the West, but it is also excessively dependent on China. And then you also cannot trust the Western countries because during the time of great emergency, they showed no morals, ethics or value. They hoarded vaccines and food items. So if you see what other options these Pacific Island nations and the Global South nations have apart from India, India would be a reliable partner to small island countries even during difficulties caused by supply chain disruptions and the climate crisis. India was committed to a free and open Indo-Pacific trade. So if you see, India, that is Bharat, is a trusted and reliable partner. But many of these small island countries do not understand this. In fact, before Prime Minister Modi, US President Joe Biden was supposed to visit Papua New Guinea. He cancelled his visit to Papua New Guinea and Australia and went to Hiroshima, Japan to attend the G7 summit. Instead of Biden, US Secretary of State Antony Blinken, he visited Papua New Guinea on Monday 22nd, and both the countries signed the Defense and Maritime Cooperation Agreement. If you remember, I told you last year China did the same thing in the Solomon Islands. I even suggested you to watch one of my videos on that topic. And now the United States is doing the same thing with Papua New Guinea. Basically, if you see, these small island nations are getting sandwiched between the United States and China. In fact, many of the people who live on these islands, that is civil society groups, students and ordinary citizens, are concerned about the increasing militarization of the region. On the same day when they signed an agreement with the United States, Papua New Guinea also hosted Prime Minister Modi. And that is when the Prime Minister of Papua New Guinea, James Marape, told that the Pacific Island nations consider Prime Minister Narendra Modi as the leader of the Global South, and they will rally behind India's leadership at international forums. Now, somewhere in my mind, I also feel that these Pacific Island nations are also playing their own geopolitical game. They are hosting China, United States, and also India. And I have said this thing in that video where China went to the Solomon Islands to sign a security agreement. You can go and check that video. I have said something which I will again repeat in this video. I said these island nations realize their geostrategic importance. So don't be surprised if these islands' government uses that as an opportunity for seeking new alliances. And then they start playing off one partner against another to extract benefits. After all, by signing security agreements with China and United States, in return these island nations will get money, aid, security, and some infrastructure investments. And think about it, watching the Solomon Islands and Papua New Guinea prosper, nearby countries and islands will also feel the urge of approaching China and the US for similar development plans. Because the fact of the matter is, all these Pacific islands suffer from poverty, unemployment, and lack of infrastructure, which unfortunately the bigger nations like Australia, New Zealand, Japan, and the United States have not been able to provide, or maybe they did not want to provide. Now, all these problems can be looked up as an opportunity, and that's exactly what China is doing, because China has money. So, these island nations realize their geostrategic importance. After all, diplomacy is all about giving upfront assurances and doing something else behind. So even Solomon Islands, Papua New Guinea is going to do diplomacy. On one hand, it will reassure Australia and the United States that everything is fine and seek their help as much as they can. Then on the other hand, they will also explore options with China, and even there they will try to extract negotiations. And now they also have a third option, that is India, behind whom they can rally and receive the necessary attention in the global economic landscape. That is why Prime Minister Modi was reminding Papua New Guinea and other Pacific Island nations through this summit that they should choose their friends wisely. India, that is Bharat, is a trusted and reliable partner, but many of these small island countries do not understand this. Now you can only tell them and make them understand. Rest is up to them. If these island nations are blinded by the dollar sign, or whether they have been forced or lured into signing deals, whatever may be the scenario, if these island nations want to invite the geopolitical game in their region, that will have a long-term consequences for them. I hope you found this video informative. Thank you for watching it.